Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby, and today is episode 50, the big 5-0. It went pretty fast since February. It's been fun. I've loved the engagement and the feedback, both the positive and the negative. And it's made me look forward to another 50 to get to 100. So yeah, episode 50. Thanks, everybody. Remember, to get all the episodes, go over to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. All right, so recently, I feel, it's been a little while, but you know, more and more recently, I feel as a conservative American anyway, that it's us against the government. It sounds conspiratorial, but it's not. And I don't just mean the Democrats, because surely there are plenty of establishment Republicans who don't have our best interests in mind. We know that. We know who most of them are. But there are some that are some rhinos that are just, you know, I guess just lying in wait, just sitting there. A lot of useless Republicans. Not all of them, but we know there are some. But that's politics, though. We know that. Establishment swamp trolls, they forget they work for us, the American people. And they do. They're there to serve us. We are their boss. We put them there. Unfortunately, some of them that are there 30, 40, 50 years, they forget that, and they keep getting reelected. Recently, Joe Biden and his joke of an administration, they told the American public that they want Americans to report on friends and family if we feel a friend or a member of our family is, air quotes, radicalized. I don't even know what that means. Obviously, we know what they mean. But yeah, they want you to rat on your friends and family if you feel, I guess, I don't know, maybe they're too patriotic, they want to be too free, you know? Does that remind you of anything? Maybe Nazi Germany in the 1930s when neighbors would watch and report any suspicious activities to the National Socialist Party and the Hitler regime, who the Jews were, who was hiding the Jews, or anything like that. They were even persecuting Germans and all over Europe. And this is all because of this imaginary narrative that the biggest threat to our country is white supremacy. Or is it global warming? I don't know. They keep flip-flopping. They're doing the Fauci flip-flop. But this is the reason, the idea behind this reporting of radicalized Americans. Because the Biden administration, who swears that the intelligence community, that white supremacy is the biggest threat to our country. In other words, anyone who supports Trump because the radical left has labeled Trump supporters as white supremacists, domestic terrorists, that's the reason. That's the narrative. But has anyone counted how many cities Trump supporters have burnt down throughout the country the past 2 years? Oh, that's right. None. But the woke radicals are hanging their hats on the Capitol riots on January 6th. You know, the big bad Capitol riots, the insurrection that wasn't an insurrection. And they're spreading the falsehood that it was in fact an insurrection. Boom. You know, trigger the leftist sickos. Because I'm wrong, or you're wrong, for saying it's not an insurrection. Well, it's not an insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection because, again, and I've said this many times, not one charge of insurrection among the almost 500 arrested. The FBI is still hunting people that were there on the 6th at the Capitol, like the Nazis hunting Jews in Poland. So whatever you do, don't hide any would-be supposed insurrectionists under your floorboards. It's a political attack on conservatives. And we know that, and the government wants your help in singling out more conservatives for them to victimize. And it's all in the name of politics. We know that. Nothing more in the name of politics. They want you to rat on your friends, rat on your family. Maybe you have a liberal in the family that they can brainwash into saying, well, you know, my cousin has guns and, you know, he listens to a lot of conservative radio or conservative news. And he's always talking about how Democrats want to attack America. Maybe he's radicalized. Maybe I should report him. The sad thing is, there were people ratting on their families who were just at the Capitol on January 6th. There was a girl who called the FBI and said both of her parents, identified both of her parents as people being at the Capitol. She must loathe her family to do that. You know, she wasn't being patriotic. She was an idiot. Wonder if her parents are one of the people that are being unjustly held without bail on a trespassing charge in Washington, D.C. in solitary confinement. Remember back in the 9/11 days when it was, if you see something, say something, and you still see that on mass transit, especially in New York, some larger cities. I still see the signs in New York, if you see something, say something, which I get it. You see a suspicious package on a subway or a bus or an airport, an unattended bag. You know, you see something, you say something. Well, now it's if you see a MAGA hat, say something because they are probably a domestic terrorist in the eyes of the radical left. Not only does Joe Biden want Americans to observe and report on other Americans, the Biden administration wants to use big tech to help spy on Americans. They want big tech to monitor online activities, monitor social media usage, to root out any of these, you know, very, very dangerous American-loving citizens that support a very, very bad, dangerous orange boogeyman. That's what basically what it comes down to. It's political persecution. If you're not in with the in crowd, meaning the radical progressive left, then they have their excuse. They have their Trojan horse, January 6th, which was nonsense. And what do you mean it was nonsense? People were killed. No, they weren't actually. No, nobody was killed. People died. Some police officers died of a stroke, tragically. There was assaults there, which were horrible. I'm not sticking up for those people. They were all idiots. They all should face their charges and trespassing and everything else. But there is due process and there is justice. And none of what's going on is just. It's political. That whole event is now political. That's what the Democrats have. It's all they have. And they want to use that against any conservative, outspoken conservative, anyone who says they voted for Trump, anyone who says they support Trump, anyone who says they might support Trump if he runs again. They want to make you look like the evil, bad person because, well, if you support Trump, you support insurrection. No, nobody supports insurrection. Insurrection didn't happen. There wasn't an attempt on insurrection. So shut up. But yeah, so big tech, Facebook, you know, Zucker moron and Twitter and all of them, they if there's suspicious posts in their eyes, like I love America and I think Joe Biden shouldn't be president and Trump is whatever it is, maybe they'll use that to come after people. Where does it stop? So I find this funny. I find this funny because right after 9/11, Republicans wanted to spy on people actually linked to radical Muslim terrorism against America. And the Democrats pushed back on it hard. They said, well, you can't do that. You just can't spy on Americans that happen to be Muslim because the Nation of Islam is based on terrorist activities or whatever else you want to say. Democrats were against it. But eventually, the Patriot Act passed. And the Patriot Act, we know that enabled the federal government to access personal information, internet and social media activity and usage of anyone they thought could be a threat to our country and national security. And yes, in many cases, the Patriot Act was abused and probably still is to this day. But the Republicans wanted that. And I, at the time, I was for it. But I thought there should be limitations. But then, you know, is there limitations on who's a terrorist cell and who's not? Because you have Americans that maybe aren't Muslims and are Muslim or sympathizers or, you know, when I say Muslim, I mean radical terroristic Muslims. Because obviously not all Muslims are terrorists. We know that. Someone will call me out on that and tell me I'm a bigot or something, calling all Muslims terrorists. No, but Islam itself is not a peaceful religion. So try to prove me wrong. We can play with that all day. But so, yeah, the Patriot Act, and it enabled agencies like the NYPD, the heart of, you know, the World Trade Center attack. It enabled them to go undercover on college campuses, religious organizations, basically to infiltrate Muslim groups. If there was reason to believe that there was a threat within, not sure how much cause they really needed, because they did it a lot. They Muslim groups on campus, on college campuses, and they even went. There was a lot of controversy because the New York City Police Department went out of state to college campuses, out of their jurisdiction, based off of intelligence from the federal task force or whatever it was at the time, that there might be some, you know, terrorist sympathizers in certain groups. And they flew under, because of that, I guess, the task force, they flew under the guise of, well, the Patriot Act. They could spy. I guess you can use the word spy and on Americans. So the Democrats constantly pushed back on it and said it was a violation of civil rights and it was racial profiling and it was pure discrimination and it shouldn't happen. But now the Democrats are in complete control of all three branches of government. And they're doing the same exact thing against Americans who have different political ideologies, all with using a made up cause. January 6th, the insurrection that wasn't an insurrection, and that white supremacy is the biggest threat in America. We know that is complete and utter bullshit. We know that. Radical Islam terrorists flew two jetliners into the World Trade Center, and they danced in celebration in the Middle East when thousands of innocent Americans were incinerated. Democrats had an issue with investigating threats to America and weeding out terrorist cells in Muslim groups and communities under the Patriot Act. Some idiots broke into the Capitol on January 6th and murdered no one. And still to this day, they say it. A police officer was murdered. No, the police officer was not murdered. We know that. They did not burn the Capitol to the ground. They didn't destroy much. I'm not making excuses for what happened on January 6th. It was stupid. It should have never happened the way it went down. And they're still investigating it, and maybe some things are going to come out. Apparently, a lot of things are coming out. I don't know. You read here, you read there. I'm staying quiet until we see actual facts come out on who was involved. You know, you hear rumors FBI had undercover agents involved. You hear the Capitol Police let people in on video. That's what it appears on a lot of the video. You have police officers from the Capitol Police waving people in. But the Democrats want everyone in a red hat in jail and labeled a threat because of that, because it's a political agenda. I mean, is this America? Is this America? Because this is not our America, people. The more I think about it, this is Obama's America. This is Susan Rice's America, who I believe is one of the main handlers and string pullers of Joe Biden. With Obama. I believe Barack Obama and Susan Rice have a lot of control of what goes on in the Oval Office with Joe Biden. I believe that. This is now Biden America. A Biden America. There you go. It's Biden America. Everything's upside down. He doesn't know if he's coming or going. People are telling him what to do, what to say, who to talk to, who not to talk to. We see that every day. But what the hell are Republicans doing about it? That's a good question. What are Republicans really doing about it? I don't want to hear, well, they can't do anything about it because they don't have the majority. They can do a lot about it. I spoke about this several times. They should be, if Kevin McCarthy says there isn't enough money to file lawsuits, there's just no money laying around. Excuse me. Find the money. Find the money. They all know how to fundraise for campaigns and elections and TV ads and this and that. Marjorie Taylor Greene's a brand new congresswoman. The first quarter, she raised like $3 million. You have so many political action committees out there. You have big donors, medium donors, small donors that I'm sure would love to give money to fund lawsuits to stop the Biden administration on certain things that maybe they're breaking federal law on, like, I don't know, border, the immigration, who knows? People sitting in jail in D.C. for trespassing. People are sitting in a D.C. jail for months in solitary confinement, treated like dogs for trespassing. Where are the Republicans? And as much as I love the man, I truly do. I think he is the best president I've had in my lifetime. And I hear from people older than me that he's been the best president they've had in their lifetime. A man who truly loves America. Why hasn't Donald Trump said anything in support of those sitting in jail for trespassing? I get the legacy media, the mainstream media would have a field day with it. He's the people's president. He's America's president. It would be nice if he said or did something. Those people broke the law. They broke the law. They were charged minimally. No insurrection charges. No charges of seditious actions. And no bail for these people. These people aren't criminals. They broke the law. Trespassing. There were some that I think have assault charges. But no insurrection charges. No charges whatsoever that have anything to do with attempting to overthrow the United States government. None. Zero. In New York, where I am, you can get, and this happened, you can get arrested 42 times in 2 months for assault, robbery, arson, and a plethora of other crimes and be out the same day or next day with no bail. Cashless bail. no matter how many times you've been arrested. They will just run you through the system. You're out to do it again and get arrested again. And criminals are so bold with it that they say, well, I'll be out again and I can go rob again. They're not going to keep me in jail. They'll keep arresting me. They'll just have to deal with the charges, but they'll be out on the street. They don't have to sit in jail over at that hellhole Rikers Island where they should all be sitting. New York is a crime-ridden shithole right now because of Democrats. The very bail reform that Democrats support and passed. In many places around the country, you're seeing it pop up. Democrat governors released criminals from jail because of COVID, not because they served their sentence fully. Some weren't or aren't even sentenced yet. We're talking real criminals. Assault, attempted murder, armed robbery. They're getting bail and they're making it. They're making bail, or they're being released because the jails were too crowded during the pandemic. Are they going to tell them the pandemic's over? It's time to come back to jail? They're not doing that. These are real criminals. These people that entered the Capitol aren't dangerous criminals. And again, this just seems to be political imprisonment to me. To make a point, it's political. And if you think I'm way off base about anything, then just comment on the video. Just comment. Tell me why, but be rational. Tell me why, just comment. Just dangerous, violent criminals let out with no bail. But people charged with trespassing held for months in solitary confinement. It's concerning. How does that happen in this country? We're not this third world communist. Are we? You break the law, you get charged. Whatever the charge is. You get bail recommended, of course, unless you're in a state like New York and they just let you out. Trespassing. You can give them all high bails. Give them all $200,000 bails. Give some $500,000 bails. That's what bail bonds agents are for. If they can make bail or someone can put a house up. Why are these people separated in solitary confinement and sitting in a jail for trespassing? And that the incarceration does not match the charges. So, you know, some of these people are in jail so long that they probably outdo their maximum sentence of their charge. You can look up all the charges on these people. Just Google them. Google the charges of the Capitol riot charges. You'll get everyone's name, where they're from, and what they're charged with. I think some people were let out. Some people were given bail. Why are there so many people sitting there for months? But again, it's very concerning because who's next? You know, you could say, oh, you're talking crazy, Alan. Am I? Am I talking crazy when I say who's next? When people who just trespassed in a federal building, trespassing, are in jail for 5 months, 6 months. Am I crazy of asking who's next? Maybe conservative political commentaries and podcasters. Maybe them. Maybe us. We're pushing and speaking against this communist-like narrative and the Biden regime. What's to say we aren't labeled as radical threats for what we say and talk about? maybe someone will think I'm a threat. Because I think it's crazy for people to sitting in jail for trespassing in the U.S. Capitol. That was not an insurrection. That was not rooted in white supremacy. Someone might think that's radical and report me. Who knows? Maybe the FBI will be knocking on my door tomorrow and want to put me in that same jail for being a radical threat. Well, if that happens, I'm telling you right now, I want to share a cell with Andrew Wilkow and Ben Shapiro. So if my attorney is listening, just please make sure that happens. So Joe Biden just attended the G7 summit, and he couldn't have looked any weaker than he did. Weak, weak president. I think the president of France, there was photos of him with his finger in his face, like yelling at him. The photos were just, they told all, but, you know, so did his speeches. And he showed his true weakness to the world after meeting with the most dangerous and manipulative world leader, Vladimir Putin. I always want to call him Putin. He looks like a mutant. Putin the mutant. Vladimir Putin. Listen, I hate the man, Putin. He does not like America. And it's funny, there are a lot of Americans that are like, oh, he's such a man. He's such a tough man. He's an American-hating, commie piece of garbage. In any case. And it's a shame that we don't have a president that we could be proud of to be tough on him. Just the optics alone were bad when they met. The awkward handshake, and then they were sitting in the room together. Biden was sitting there with his legs crossed, playing with his, he had those cheat sheet flashcards that he has, while Putin, he's sitting there stone-faced, just realizing he's next to a weak loser. Just look on his face. And Putin said it in not so many words before when he said, you know, Biden is a career man, meaning a career government employee. He's been in the government establishment his entire life. And Putin has made it a point several times that he just despises that. They just go with the flow, the establishment. Putin respected Trump, and he said this because he was the opposite. I think he called him an extraordinary leader. And he knew because Trump had no problem standing up and being tough on Russia. Sanctions, we saw all that. Biden, on the other hand, he lifts energy sanctions before this meeting. So, you know, he already gave Russia a gift, which of course will make the Russian economy stronger because they can now sell oil to Europe and other places, you know, and Biden, for whatever reason, is making America's economy tank and energy dependent on other countries when Trump made America and energy independent. Our energy sources, communication infrastructures, food sources, they've all been victim of cyber attacks and hacks recently. And we know, we're not stupid. Biden's not stupid. The intelligence committee, the community, yeah, they're kind of stupid. They're politicized anyway. They all know it's Russia doing it, and Biden does nothing about it. He sits in a closed-door meeting with Putin for hours. I don't know how long it was, 4 or 5 hours. And what came of it? We will never truly know because nothing came of it. I can't imagine what it would be like to sit in a room with Joe Biden for 1 hour, let alone 4 or 5. I imagine there had to have been other people in the room. There's no way the establishment was letting Joe Biden deal with Putin on his own behind closed doors. I don't see it. Then then Biden and Putin have, they have separate press conferences after, which no other American president has done. It's just weird. It's obvious why Biden's handlers did not want him to share a room for a public press conference with Vladimir Putin. We know that. I mean, Biden, with his, you know, cognitive decline, he definitely could not handle Putin on a public stage, just in casual conversation. No way. He barely can handle himself, how confused he is. Biden was barely able to answer questions at all. He struggles reading the teleprompter. He's an old 78. You know, Donald Trump's a young 75. Biden's an old 78. You can see it. And Biden was reading off a very large teleprompter during the press conference. And then, and again, he had, this is just, he had pre-picked journalists he was supposed to call on for questions. When the president of the United States has a press conference and he says, as usual, I'll take questions, and as usual, I have a list of journalists to call on for questions. That is a major problem. Tell me how that's not an issue. Please, if you think it's not an issue, tell me why it's not an issue. Tell me why our president should not be confident enough to take off-the-cuff questions by the American press. Tell me why our president can't be subject to any non-scripted questions by any random journalist. I also want to know who's exactly writing his little cheat sheet cards, who's making the list and deciding what journalists he calls on. Just listen to his comment here, and just watch how he opens with the questions. Just watch.
I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
How is that normal? Tell me how that is normal for an American president. They tell me, like when he says on other occasions, I'm going to get in trouble for answering these questions. Who are you going to get in trouble by? You're the president, leader of the free world, president of the United States, commander in chief of the armed forces. You should have some level of confidence being the president of the United States. There is no confidence here at all. People should be running through the streets with the vote of no confidence. Also, tell me this. This is a good one. This happened. Why would our president, the leader of our country, give a list of 16 infrastructure entities that are off limits to cyber attacks to our biggest adversary, Russia? Because that's what he did. He told him that there were 16 infrastructure entities that should be off limits. So my question is, what is in play for cyber attacks? You give our adversary, you tell them specifically, listen, these 1 through 16 infrastructure entities should be not, you shouldn't cyber attack them. I imagine Russia and Putin had to have been laughing in his head, like, is this guy serious? I mean, listen, I'm no politician or world leader, but if that was said to me and my adversary, I'd be like, yeah, okay. So I imagine that Russia now has a comprehensive list of entities it may or may not cyber attack in the future. How moronic is this? Hey, Joe, how about tell Putin if any cyber attacks happen and it's linked back to Russia, there will be heavy sanctions, responses, and consequences. How about act like a leader? Not say, these are 16 things that should be off the table for cyber attacks. It's like asking the bully on the playground at school, okay, not to talk bad about your mommy. Like, don't talk bad about mom. What the hell do you think the bully's going to do if they want to get to you? Talk bad about your mom. Does Biden actually believe that Putin took him seriously? Because Putin knows how weak he is. Putin is a bully. He bullies everybody. And unfortunately for us, Putin is a much stronger leader. And I hate to admit that, but we know it's true. Well, it seems that state governments are now taking action where the federal government is failing. Governor Abbott of Texas just announced recently that he's going to be funding and fundraising to build a wall at the Texas southern border because of the increased illegal alien invasion into the country and specifically his state of Texas. And it's interesting because that's the federal government's job. I don't know the legalities and all that. I mean, he's doing it, though, that they're moving to build a wall. I don't know if they're building a new wall. I don't know if they're just closing openings of the existing wall because that's federal property. I guess there's a lot of moving parts. It's very interesting to see that this is happening, that the governor of Texas is like, you know what, screw it. If you're not going to protect us, we'll protect ourselves. I mean, he already started when he was sending like 500 and 1,000 National Guard troops to the southern border, Texas, you know, National Guard troops to provide border security because we know it's a threat. But it's interesting. And what's really sad and really disgusting, because, you know, the border that the Biden administration says is secure and closed, but it's nowhere near secure and it's wide open. That's what's disgusting. We know that. He knows that. But they all keep saying that the border is secure, and we know it's not. Border Patrol is overrun. They've become glorified babysitters and diaper changers for all of the unaccompanied children, the minors, the babies that are being sent in droves by the cartels as a distraction to the Border Patrol so they can operate at all the unsecure locations at the border, all the gaps to bring in their drugs and people and children and weapons, making millions a day. Millions a day. Cartel economy is doing great. Biden did a great job with that. So, Governor Abbott, he said he's allocating $250 million to start the Texas Wall Project and is hoping other southern border states will do the same. Governor DeSantis in Florida, that guy, man, he's unbelievable. He's great. I don't think Florida, if he's going to want to run on a federal ticket, I don't think Florida wants to let him go. I talk to a lot of people that live in Florida, and they're like, we want to keep DeSantis. We don't want him running for president. Or some people say, we want to keep for at least another term before he aspires to the masses of the country, you know, as on a federal ticket. But DeSantis, he ordered Florida law enforcement officers, he's sending them from Florida to go assist in southern border security because, again, the federal government has rendered the Border Patrol basically powerless. They Border Patrol said, like, we our hands are tied. We cannot do anything. And this is all in the plan for the radical left's attack on America, to let all these people in and get them registered as Democrats by the millions. They don't even hide it. It's radical is what it is. But again, where are the Republicans? And what are they doing besides talking about how bad it is? You can send 18 congressmen down there and sit in front of a podium at the border and talk about how bad it is and go creep around the woods like it's Safari Day and watch the people swimming over the Rio Grande and maybe drown. Great, but what are you doing? You saw how bad it is. We know how bad it is. American people know how bad it is. Those that say they don't are idiots. They do. But what are they doing about it? Again, lawsuits, federal lawsuits. Republicans have to play lawfare. Democrats are very good at lawfare. They should be suing the Biden administration. They should be loaded up on lawsuits and let the courts deal with it. Do something. Did you ever imagine a time when southern border states had to divert assets and funding to secure the country's border when it's the job of the federal government to make their state safe? How is this not a dereliction of some sort by, you know, a dereliction of duty by the Homeland Security Secretary and the president? More so the president. There has to be federal laws being violated. There has to be. I'm not an attorney. I'm saying that's what lawsuits are for. Republicans should be throwing snowballs of lawsuits at the Biden administration. America is under attack by the current administration and radical progressives. Prove me wrong, please. I mean, prove me wrong. But there's the laundry list. Biden wants us to report on each other like Nazis. American citizens are being held as political prisoners in jail for trespassing while murderers and rapists are being let to walk the streets. Big tech is being allowed to censor, deplatform any conservative that has an opposing view, whether they're famous or not. A former president. Small businesses continue to be completely destroyed by these ridiculous, nonsensical mandates. The left is trying to completely manipulate and destroy the election system as we know it with the H.R. 1 bill and completely trample over the Constitution and taking all election power away from the states. Stealing the election process. Pushing this narrative of segregation by how you identify as a human. And if you, God forbid, you disagree, then you're a bigot and a very bad person. Allowing the sexualization of children in schools and other institutions with drag queens and cartoons about masturbating. Pushing this racist critical race theory on our children and teaching them to judge people by their skin color, and that if you're one skin color, you're the oppressed, and if you're another skin color, you're the oppressor. Victimology 101. Brainwashing people into thinking that being white, conservative, and straight makes you a very bad person, a white supremacist.
How about disregarding the heroes, military heroes who fought and died for our country and freedoms, but instead tell men who dress up as women that they're brave? That's not an attack on America, right? How about vilifying our police in America to the point where cities have defunded them, making cities into lawless hellholes and emboldening criminals to just keep committing crimes because there's really no consequence. Maybe no bail. They won't lock you up. There's no police. Police, they,
They don't want to police. I don't blame them.
How about praising the domestic terrorist group Black Lives Matter, who burned down cities and loot, and who have caused over $2 billion in property damage and counting? How about that? How about that attack on America? How about attempting to erase American history because it doesn't fit the radical progressive narrative? Allowing our country to be overrun by millions of illegals, taxing our communities, our schools, and economies. Bullying Americans into getting vaccinated and to show proof of vaccination, but saying it's racist to have to show ID to vote. Attempting to disarm Americans and violate our Second Amendment right based off lies and inaccurate information about firearms. I'm sure the list goes on. I'm sure I'm missing several important things. All those things, and no one wants to talk about real issues. Like, even Republicans, some are. But like, talk about the sex trafficking of thousands of children who are sold over and over and over again to pedophiles who roam the streets after getting bailed out of jail for hurting kids. But because somebody walked into the Capitol, they're kept in jail for 6 months for a trespassing charge. But pedophiles are out there violating and exploiting children that are being sold to them by the cartels coming over the border. The border that is open because of the Biden administration. Victimizing children, that's what the Biden administration is doing. Where does it stop? How about the ties in our mainstream media to left-leaning corporations who own them and use them as a driver of the narrative and influence in politics? The political culture, it's influenced by big tech corporations who own the mainstream media. We know that. No one wants to talk about that. So what do we do? What can we do? People rally, and sometimes that has positive effects. I see it locally to me. There are quite a few groups that rally on different things, and they make local changes. Trump is going to start having rallies again. But, you know, I guess the America First agenda, whatever. Be interesting what he says at his first rally. I think it's coming up soon. But maybe organizers or a group in your area, they need to start having vote of no confidence in Biden rallies. I don't know. But what about the clowns in Congress that work for us? Yeah, we can vote them out and replace them with I guess real candidates we support who want to preserve conservative values, who want to serve the people, if they truly mean that when they say it anyway. You know, people sometimes tell me, oh, it's useless to call and email your congressman, congresswoman, or senator because they don't care. Maybe they're right. If they get one call here and one call there, they don't pay attention to it. But you know, there's an old saying, there's power in numbers. I have heard from the lips of Congress members that they will get spooked if the numbers are there. What does that mean? Well, if you're going to call or email a congressman, congresswoman, or senator, then you're one person. You have to get five people to do the same thing. Then those five people have to get five people. It's like a pyramid scheme. And so on and so on and so on. To make the phone calls, to send the emails. Instead of sitting on Facebook posting about the issues, do something. If you can get 20 people to go rally about not having kids wear masks in school, then get those 20 people to rally at your congressmember's office or senator's office
to protect our election system, say, or whatever issue you have. Maybe you want your congressman or senator to vote a certain way. Well, there are ways we can influence those votes in numbers. There's power in numbers. And you have to pay attention. What's going on? What do you see that you don't like? Do you want to make a difference? Do you care? If you're listening or watching, you obviously care. This is what we're talking about. You know, members of Congress are supposed to be voting in the best interest of their constituents. A lot of them don't. Some do. There's power in numbers. Form a call-in rally. Get 20, 30, 40 people to get together in the same place with their cell phones. Everyone has a cell phone. Every single person. Take turns. Call your senator. Call your congressman. Get a petition. Get a petition going. And hand deliver it to them with 20, 30, 40 people. Mob rule apparently works for the left. But we're different, however. You know, we aren't a mob. But until conservatives, until conservative voters start getting off their asses and pushing around their representatives, it's going to be the same old shit. Grassroots movements, rallies, they can be very effective if done right. Get an organizer. Maybe there's someone in your area that holds rallies. Maybe you can contact that person and say, listen, this issue is a problem. We need to rally and get our congressman, our congresswoman on board. They may join you in the rally. If you have a congressman or senator that's completely unreachable, because they think they're holier than thou, then you have to reach them. You have to camp at their office in droves, in numbers. This is how we feel. Get the media involved. Get local lawmakers involved. Maybe there's mayors, there's council people, there's trustees, board of education members. Get them involved. Get houses of worship involved. Go to your local church. Go to your synagogue. Maybe they feel the same way and they can help. Community. Nothing will change with everyone just posting like wash women on their devices. Oh, communist America because of blah, 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 blah. Well, what'd you do about it today? Did you talk to anybody? Did you attend anything? There any meetings in your area? Did you look it up? Did you find out? If you don't want to get involved, then don't complain about your rights being trampled on. Black Lives Matter burns down cities and gets their flag flown at every U.S. embassy and consulate in the world on the anniversary of George Floyd's overdose. We already have a flag. We already have a flag flying, the American flag. If you want to preserve, conservative values, then stand up and fight like hell. Oh, that's fight like hell. That was dangerous. That got Trump impeached again. But every Democrat says it too on the podium. You got to fight like hell. Just leave the bats and Molotov cocktails at home because conservatives are better than that. Real conservatives are better than that. Not a few rednecks that pound some beers and decide to walk around the Capitol with a Confederate flag. That's just idiotic. America is under attack. And if you're going to care and you want to do something about it, then get involved. Figure it out. Go online. Talk to people. There's a Facebook group for everything. Go on your local Facebook page and look for a group. Just type it in the search bar. I'm sure you'll find something. I have plenty in my area. All across America, a quiet rage is building against the assault upon conservative values every day. More so than ever before in our lifetime. The concerns and patience of a lot of Americans are being tested, being tried, and attacked by a group of radical, progressive elitists that are basically, they are hell-bent on the destruction of this country as we know it, the conservative way about this country and the preservation of it. They want to destroy that. You must refuse to remain silent. And that's that. I'm going to leave it there. Right before I go, I want to tell everyone about a book that I started reading that is amazing. Breitbart News, which is they're right-leaning and they're open about it, but they report real. Alex Marlowe is their editor-in-chief, and he wrote a book, Breaking the News. I just started it, Exposing the Establishment Media's Hidden Deals and Secret Corruption. It's pretty amazing so far. I can't wait to finish it, but it's very well done, and it really opens your eyes about a lot of things, a lot of specific things. It's not conspiracy theories or anything like that. No, there was a lot of work, investigative work, and research put into this book. I could see it already. I got it on Amazon. Alex Marlowe, he's the editor-in-chief at Breitbart, Breaking the News. I actually reached out to him. I'm hoping he gets my email because I'd love to have him on the show and promote his book and talk to him. He's also on Sirius XM Radio, the Patriot Channel, which I believe is channel 125 or 126. He's usually on early in the morning, I believe 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And he's on right before the David Webb show. And he's got a great show, too. Talks about a lot of good stuff. So in any case, all right, I'm going to leave it there. I hope you're all right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and listening and watching. Remember, get all the episodes at thegreatdivide1776.com. And until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.